Okay, so last night, guys, we learned about Panim Chadashot. And a lot of the basics of Panim Chadashot. What are Panim Chadashot? We said there are three opinions. There's the Rambam, Tosafot, and the Rosh. According to the Rambam, it's people who do not yet hear the Shavu Berachot at the wedding. According to Tosafot, it's people whom we are happy that they're here. Happy that it's about the Chatan and Kala being happy, not about the guests. And according to the Rosh, it's about people who didn't yet experience, who didn't yet hear, eat at the meal. So now these people are going to eat at the meal, and wonderful, that will count as Panim Chadashot. So we discussed how many. We said for Ashkenazim you need one, for Sfaradim you need two, and now we're up to how Shabbat counts as Panim Chadashot. Tosfot says, this is a very Tosfot-based idea, that there's more Shir L'Yom HaShabbat, the Midrash says, Panim Chadashot Ba'al Lechan. And you have a new face here. What's the new face? That just like all week long, when some new guy comes, I'm happy he's here. So, and I put out more food, and that simcha that comes out of the whole business of having new people and new food here makes me happy, and I say Shabbat Berachot. So too, on Shabbat, when there are tons of people around, and there's tons of food around, that's when you don't even need living, breathing Panim Chadashot. Shabbat itself is Panim Chadashot. You don't have to have new people at the meal. You already have Shabbat counting as Panim Chadashot. That's what Tosfot quotes from the Midrash. So now, how much of Shabbat counts as Panim Chadashot, right? So, first of all, before we talk about how much of Shabbat, is it only Shabbat or are there other days as well? And Shulchan Aruch writes, and not just on Shabbat, but also on Yom Tov. Both Shabbat and Yom Tov, first and second day, they all count as Panim Chadashot. So if somebody gets married, you know, the week before Shavuot, and then he has 2 days of Shavuot and his Shabbat Brachot, for all the meals of Shavuot, he doesn't need to have Panim Chadashot, he's covered. And that works just fine. So to prepare off all the Yamim Tovim. But Chol HaMoed, even if you have Ushpizin, it doesn't make a difference, it doesn't count as Panim Chadashot, and neither does Purim, even though they're happy days. There's a mitzvah of Simcha and Purim, just like there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So maybe that is enough to be considered Panim Chadashot. So Rav Moshe Alevi, Birkat Hashem, explains that no, the Simcha and Purim is a function of Pirsumei Nisa. Whereas the Simcha on Shabbat and the Simcha on Yom Tov are functions of Kavod Hashem, of Kavod Yom, Kavod Yom. I have a mitzvah to be mitaneg, and to enjoy the day, and have me honor Hashem with lots of food on this day. That Hashem is my guest, Hashem is my Panim Chadashot, so that's why Shabbat and Yom Tov, that counts as Panim Chadashot. Whereas on Purim, it's not about a guest, it's not about Hashem's presence, it's not about any simcha that comes from Kavod, of the mitzvah of Kavod, Shabbat and Yom Tov. It just comes from Pirsumei Nisa, it's a mitzvah to be happy today, to Yimifarsem, to publicize the miracle of Purim. So therefore, Purim does not count as Panim Chadashot. I guess the same thing would be true by Chanukah. So but at the very least, Shabbat and Yom Tov can count as Panim Chadashot, and that's great. But not all of Shabbat does, because this idea of having tons of extra food on Shabbat probably only makes sense when there is tons of extra food on Shabbat. There's one meal on Shabbat that everybody knows about. When there is, we don't have an increase of food. We just do the bare minimum because we're so full from eating all day long. Suda Shlishit, right? We don't eat it so much on Suda Shlishit, so much so that it's a machloket rishonim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you don't even have to have bread at Suda Shlishit. You can get away with mine mitika, with mine migadim. You can have sweets and fruits and other things at Suda Shlishit, according to Rabbeinu Tam, and you're covered.
How much is even served at some Suda Shlishis?
Huh?
Not much is even served at some Suda Shlishis.
Right, no one has room for it. It's not a big deal. So maybe, because...
It's terrible,
okay? So in the Chida's day, the Chida writes how in his day, they used to have a very, very small breakfast on Shabbat morning, and then they have a huge lunch, and that would be Suda Shlishis. So in his day, it was flipped. Yeah, in Israel also, you have an early lunch, and then you have a bigger meal, okay? So some places it is like that. Maybe does that change anything? First of all, let's see what is the Ikar problem here. The Ikar problem is that Suda Shlishit is very small. And you don't even need to have bread according to some Rishonim. This not needing bread is a machloket Rishonim and a Safik. You don't know for sure. We say Safik Brachot LaHakel. For example, when it comes to forgetting Ritzeva Chalitzenu, if a person does forget Ritzeva Chalitzenu for the first two meals, he has to repeat Pirkat HaMazon. But if he forgets it at Sudah Shlishit, Shulchan Aruch writes two places, in Kuf Pechat and Reish Tzad Yalef, I think, in Orach Chaim, that you don't have to go back for what Ritzeva Achlitzenu in Pirkat HaMazon. Because it's a safek. We're not sure if the halacha is like Rabbeinu Tam or like everybody else, that you need to, whether or not you need to have bread at Sudah Shlishit. And the third place where this machloket shows up is here, in Hilchot Sheva Berachot. According to the ones who say you need to have bread at Sudah Shlishit, so then you're supposed to have extra food at Sudah Shlishit. That's the bread, that's the meal. So then you have Shabbat counts, even at Sudah Shlishit as Panim Chadashot. But if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, that you don't need to have bread at Sudah Shlishit, so then according to that, there's barely a meal here, then you would not count Sudah Shlishit as Panim Chadashot. Now this is where it gets fun. That's all pshat. That's all halacha. The Mikubalim, Arizal, Rama Mifano, Ben Ishchai are consistent. Five, Ritzei V'Achlitzenu. What does the Ben Ishchai say? Maran had a safek. So you say safek brachol ha'kel for Maran in Shulchan Aruch. But Arizal had no safek. And you never say safek brachol ha'kel against Arizal. The Arizal said you have to. You don't have to, you do have to have bread at Sudash Lishit. Therefore, you do have to go back for Ritzei V'Achlitzenu. And consistently, the Ben Ishchai says in Hilchot Shava Berachot, it's not so clear in the Ben Ishchai, but everybody, literally everybody understands this is what the Ben Ishchai says. In Shana Shiniya, Shana Rishona, Parashat Shoftim, Halachat Tedvav, I think the Ben Ishchai writes, somewhat unclearly, but the Pshat is in the Ben Ishchai, that at Sudah Shlishit also, one can count Sudah Shlishit as Panim Chadashot and not need living, breathing people to take its place. If that's the case, because he's being consistent, both times Shulchan Aruch says Safik Brachol Lahakel. Both times the Ben Ishchai says no, Vada, you have to say the Beracha again, and it counts, and you need to have bread. And both times Rav Avadya says back, no, Safik Berachol Lahakel. That's why according to Rav Avadya, if you forget Ritzei V'Achlitzenu at Sudash Lishit, you don't go back. According to Rav Avadya, if you have at Sudash Lishit, you do need real, living, breathing Panim Chadashot. You cannot be someich on this Shita of the Balei Tosafot over there because of the safek, of this idea of eating pat. Now, that's the basic halacha for Sudah Shlishit for Sfaradim. The Rama writes, we said yesterday, the Rama says, like the Balei Tosafot, it's all about increasing food, increasing simcha. So maybe you don't, according to the Rama, first of all, you might not even need to have extra food. It should just be people in general, Panim Chadashot, people who make you so happy that if you wanted to, you would. For these people, for sure, I would put out extra food. You don't actually have to, but I would do it for them. I like them so much. So to hear, Shabbat is such a happy day, I'm putting out tons of extra food. But is that really it for Shabbat? No. According to the Rama, Sudash Lishit could count as Panim Chadashot also because the minhag was that the Chatan gave a derasha at Sudash Lishit in Ashkenaz. The Chatan gave a whole Dvar Torah, and it was a big deal. Everybody got together. Oh, Chassin's giving a Dvar Torah. So everyone came to hear. So either you say, the Dvar Torah gave me so much simcha, that's Panim Chadashot. Or you say, people came, and Mistama, there's someone there who wasn't at the wedding, and I'm happy to see him. That's going to be the Panim Chadashot. Either way you read it, the Ashkenazim have a little bit more to rely on to have Panim Chadashot at Sudah Shlishit, even without real, living, breathing Panim Chadashot. Because either way, there's going to be Simcha. But Rav Sternbach says, Rav Moshe Sternbach says, if you go like the first opinion, that it's about the Dvar Torah giving me Simcha, it better be a good Dvar Torah. If he's just reading with something from H.com, it's not going to count. It has to be a really good Dvar Torah to make me really happy. Otherwise, it doesn't count as Panim Chadashot. Fine. Now let's move on to the next idea. By the way, you should feel free to go get up, get more food, do whatever you like. I'm happy to sit here and keep talking. Whoever is here, please don't feel obligated to sit down, walk around, do whatever you like. Totally fine. Now, I just took a sip, and that's what you have to do after you say Sheva Brachot also, right? You have this Sudah Shlishit, Sheva Brachot is Sudah Shlishit. Whatever reason, however you did it, you managed to have Panim Chadashot. Now, good. We figured that out. Afterwards, it's probably after Shikiyah, right? Can you drink the wine at Sheva Berachot after Shekia? What happens in general? You have Sudah Shlishi that goes past Shekia. It's not, you can't eat or drink before Havdalah. You can drink water after before Havdalah. Maybe you can't drink any wine. So what do? So the minhag for the Sfaradim is it's always okay. If you ever say Birkat HaMazon on a cup as Sudah Shlishi, you don't have to worry. It's okay to drink for Sfaradim. For Ashkenazim, the minhag is not to. Minhag is not to drink the wine at Sudah Shlishi, so much so that Rav Ben Chaim used to drink, when he would be in YU for Shabbat, he used to drink the wine at the end of Sudah Shlishi in YU. But then, one time, the Ashkenazi rabbis didn't know that what he was doing, so the next time, he stopped. He wouldn't drink from it. I heard him say this to them one time. He's like, "Ani haiti shote, aval aten, chashavtim shezeh muzar, az iglazeh ani lo shote." He explained it to them even. It was really funny. But, either way, that's the common practice. Now, at Sheva Berachot, it's a little bit better, though. Maybe even the Ashkenazim, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, this isn't included in their regular minhag to not drink at Birkat HaMazon, at Sudah Shlishi, before Havdalah. Therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer says, one can say all the Sheva Berachot, and anyone wants to can drink from the cup after Sudah Shlishi, and it's totally fine. Of course. Shabbat. You didn't eat. I only had water. Seltzer doesn't count. So I'm not mitzarev to the zimun. So I still have to praise Hashem. So we say boshet lo. Baruch umvorach shemo tamid leolam vaed.
What does that mean?
It means Baruch Umvorach, Hashem is blessed, and I don't know, blessed. Shemo Tamid, his name forever. Le'olam Va'ed, and ever and ever. It's praising Hashem. So instead of saying anything to the Zimun, I can't say Baruch Shachal Mishalom. I can say Baruch Umvorach Shemo Tamid Le'olam Va'ed. Exactly. If you remember Boshet Lo, it's the Rosh Hashanah, it's very easy, you'll never forget it. Oh, Rabbi Azar, Baruch Haba, Baruch Haba. Welcome, welcome. Pizza will be out eventually. Don't worry. Okay.
It was out just now. It'll be out again.
Okay, fine. Good. Now let's continue a little bit. Of course, if you guys want to go downstairs and learn, please don't feel obligated at all to stay here. It's totally fine. Now. Okay, so let's continue. So Ashkenazim, the Tzitz Eliezer, is Mekel all the way. But the Shimrat Shabbat Hilchata of Neuberg says that there are those who say all the berachot except for HaGefen, and wait until you say Havdalah to say the HaGefen. That's what Rav Neubert says. Some say, Rav Moshe Feinstein is the classic, normal, mainstream opinion here. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that you can say all the berachot you want, but the Chatan and Kala should be the only ones to drink. The Chatan and Kala should be the only ones to drink, nobody else. That's what Rav Schechter holds. Rav Willig says, and I think Rav Schechter also says, that preferably in that case, the Chatan should say a Geffen. Usually we don't let anybody, but we don't let the Chatan recite the Sheva Berachot. In this case, we'll allow the Chatan to recite a Geffen. Because what's the point of someone else saying it for him? He should just say it himself. That's the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Sternbach recites how there's a machloket in the entire Soloveitchik family about what to do here. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik did one thing, his father-in-law, Rav Rafael Volozhiner, did another thing, his son, the Griz, did another thing. Okay, different opinions out here, but the mainstream seems to be like Rav Moshe that the Chatan and Kala drink. That's all, by the way, only if Sheva Berachot is not the last night of Sudah Shlishi is not the last Sheva Berachot. If Shabbat is the last day of Sheva Berachot, so now there's a whole machloket here. If it's after Tzedek Kochavim, so then forget about it, the whole day is over. Baruch Yeh, Chazak Baruch Yeh. So if it's after Tzedek Kochavim, Motzei Shabbat, and Shabbat was the last day of Sheva Berachot, so then there's nothing doing, you can't recite anything. Almost according to everybody. According
to you have to do Shabbat?
7 days.
7 days.
7 days.
But you don't have to do every night.
You don't have to do every night. As much as you want. As much as you can.
You can do more than once a month.
For sure. Yeah. So, and you have to figure out, though, how to calculate the 7 days. When do they start? When do they end? And even when it ends, maybe you can keep going. Because you started the meal during the 7 days and you go past. So let's say you started before Shabbat was over and you ended after Shabbat. So if it's during Bein HaShemashot, so Rav Avadi at least says you can say Sheva Brachot. Many disagree with him. Many say that you can't do it even during Bein HaShemashot. But let's say you hold like Rav Avadi. Afterwards, we say Safei Brachot La'akel. It's after Tzedek HaChavim, after Shabbat is over, even if your meal is still going, we don't let you recite Sheva Brachot anymore. But Rav Avadia says you can at least open Shasim Chavim Ono. You can still say the special Zimun Shasim Chavim Ono to introduce your thing, to introduce your Zimun. At the same time, yeah, that's the idea of general end time. So I always have to keep in mind if Shabbat is going to be the last day of Shabbat Brachot, you might have a problem. So you should finish before Shakia, so the Kuli Alma, you can recite all of your Berachot. I remember that's what Rabbi Cohen does. That they start Shabbat Berachot, they do Mincha early that Shabbat, so that actually she can finish before Shakia. And then they bench before Shakia, and then Rabbi Cohen speaks until Shabbat is over.
How can Shabbat, like, usually a wedding won't be on a...
Right. So let's say, so it's only 7 days, not 8 days. When you do something 7 days, it means it's the 1 week from today is already, it's over, it's the 8th day. Baby's born on Sunday, the meal is on Sunday. As long as it was born before Shakia. So, therefore, let's say you get married on a Sunday evening, right? Sunday like 5 o'clock, you get married. If it's the winter, then that means that the first day is really Monday. And then Sunday, this coming Sunday, is the last day of your Sheva Berachot. And if it's the summer, that means the last day is Shabbat, which was my case. And that's why if you have a Sunday wedding, the last day will basically be Shabbat half of the year. So the question is, how do you count? When does it start? According to some, the moment of your chuppah, 24 hours times 7 later is when it's over. Meaning even if it's 5 o'clock, it's 5 o'clock on Sunday, means 5 o'clock Shabbat, it's over, which has kulas and chumras. It has some lenient parts. It allows you to go into Shabbat, but it also means that you have to stop early on Shabbat. Whereas, 5 o'clock Sunday, it's over. As you go into Sunday, but Sunday, 5 o'clock, it's over. No later than that. But according to, if you go by, no, it's from Shikia to Shikia, and it doesn't matter, even if you got married a minute before Shikia, once Shikia comes, that's day number one, it's complete, and now you start day number two. So the winter, summer weddings really kills the day of Sheva Brachot. It doesn't help you, it hurts you. You got married in the summer, you lose the day of Sheva Brachot. So that's one opinion, you go 24 hours. So it depends what you're talking about. You don't have to have a meal every night, right? But also, because there are two opinions with respect to the berachot, we go by Shakia. Whatever you got married doesn't matter. The seventh Shakia comes, it's over. Even though Sunday at 5 o'clock was your wedding, and you'll go into the next day until 5 o'clock. It doesn't matter, you still cannot recite Sheva Brachot then. But that's only with respect to the Beracha. There are two mitzvahs here. There's a mitzvah of Beracha, and there's a mitzvah of Simcha. Simcha means you spend the week with your wife making her happy. It's a mitzvah min HaTorah, according to the Rambam in the Sefer HaChinuch, of V'simach et Ishto. You have a mitzvah to make your wife happy for the entire year. But the Midrabanan, you have to stay home, and you're not allowed to work for the entire week. Some people, they get married, they go to work, they go back to work 2 days later. It's not right. Midrabanan, you have to stay home and spend time with your wife and make her happy. If she says, okay, go to work, and if there's a huge, huge loss, so then there's what to rely on to be mekel. And even if there isn't a huge loss, it's okay. Or if there is a huge loss and she doesn't say it's okay, maybe there's what to rely on also. Certainly if he can't live, he doesn't have any food, he can go to work. But if a person is living in a comfortable financial situation and he can, and there's no real pain or strain other than just lost income, shouldn't go to work for a week. Take off that week and do whatever he can. If let's say though, it's either you don't work for the week of Shavuot or you don't work on Chol HaMoed. Which one is it? I don't know. I'm not going to answer that question. But it's important for a person's married life to be home and spend time with his spouse. So that's what the week is for. It's not for vacationing. It's not for eating and drinking. It's not for working. It's 1 hour or two of night is for eating and drinking. The rest is for spending time at home with your spouse. So it doesn't really pay. It doesn't really pay to go to work during the week of Sheva Brachot. No pun intended. But there are more things. There are more things to be investing in besides for one's income. Okay? I didn't go to work that week. I went to work the next week. I worked at a startup and nobody cared anyway. So but I understand. I have a friend who works at the FBI. So it was for him. It was a big deal to take off a week. Okay, fine, whatever. I don't know whom he was killing.
Were you allowed to see that?
Huh?
Were you allowed to see that?
Yeah, he has a badge and everything. He's not undercover. He's like HR for the FBI. He's not an agent for that. At least that's what he says he is. I don't know if he actually is or whatever. He says he's HR for the FBI. Now he's special training. I don't know. They don't have to take you for 3 weeks down to like Washington to train you to be an HR specialist. You can do that online. Clearly, there's something more going on, but he's allowed to say it. Okay, fine, good. Anyway, that's the mitzvah of simcha. And therefore, because there's two ways to count how the week, either 24 hours times 7 or from Shekiah for the beracha, will be machmir and say you only count from Shekiah until Shekiah. But for the other things that happen, no tachanun, for staying home, for having the status of melech, which you might enjoy a lot more during that week than usual. Everyone thinks he's the melech, but min adin, he's the melech during the week of Sheva Berachot. Nafka mina is he can't be alone. People might want to help him out, do things for him. Yes, I think not a lot of work. A melech doesn't go to work, so chatan's not a lot of work either. You know, and the Rambam says that a woman has to treat her husband like he's a king all the time. So Rav Aaron Khan in YU says that's only if he treats her like a malka. If he doesn't treat her like a malka, so then she doesn't have to treat him like a melech. So that's the idea of simcha. So for simcha, we count 24 hours times 7. Because there's no veracha involved over there. So that means that let's say I got married on a... And when do you count it from? You count it from the yichud. Which does not from the chuppah, from the yichud. So for Ashkenazim, there's no difference. The yichud room follows the chuppah pretty quickly. Unless the chuppah started before Shekiah, and then what you may call it, and then the yichud is after Shekiah.
It's a full day apart.
Then it would be a full day apart, yeah. And also some say you count from Sheva Brachot under the chuppah, but we count from yichud. So, therefore, if a couple is Sfaradi, and they get married at 6 o'clock at night, it's the chuppah, that's when you'll start counting for beracha. But I think, and for yichud, for simcha, you count from the yichud and on. So if the yichud is at night, at 11 o'clock at night when they go home, that means that you have an extra day for no tachanon, for not going to work, and for all other things. So for me, that meant I got married on a Sunday. Monday morning, I'm pretty sure Monday morning we still didn't say the next Monday morning we still didn't say tachanun. I'm pretty sure.
I don't mind no tachanun. I was davening at
Rabbi Cohen's shul and everybody looked at me after Shmona Esrei and they're like, "Is it 7 days or 8 days for you?" So Rabbi Cohen said it's 7 days and I said no. Rabbi Cohen said it's 8 days. And I said no, Rabbi. If you go by the hours, it's still 7 days for me. So we didn't say tachanun for one more day. Everyone was so happy. So it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And there's a story I heard once. There's a tzaddik yisod olam of Rosh Hashiva NYU, of Meir Tversky. He's mamash a tzaddik yisod olam. Huge, huge. He looks like a monster. Mamash looks like looks like he's going to tear you apart. He's such a soft, soft tzaddik. If you try to hold the door for him, he's huge. He'll just open the other door and he'll keep going and won't even realize that you're there. Even if you try to open the door for him, like you stand there for like 5 minutes beforehand, he'll just go the other way. Well, mamash, it's really hard to be mechaved him. He's a huge tzaddik. So Rav Tversky, I heard one time that there was a carpool of guys coming from Queens to YU on a Sunday morning, Sunday morning, whatever day it was, and there was a guy who was a new chatan. So they were all driving to YU, and one person pointed out to him, "Hey, it's still within 7 days for you, according to the hours." And the guy's like, "Oh, whatever, it's okay." He got to yeshiva. Rav Tversky saw him. He said, "Go back home." You have to spend time with your wife. You can't leave your wife so quickly. Send him back home from yeshiva. Happened to me this year also. I saw a guy in YU who's in his seventh day up
so
until
you
the
have
yeshiva.
To stay home for those 7 days?
Yeah, spend time with your wife.
Not allowed to be away from your wife.
You have to spend time at home. V'simach ed ishto, according to the chinuch, is a mitzvah mina Torah. So it's an important thing to do. Unless there are difficult circumstances. But it's important to know what the important things are. And it's important to spend time. And then if a person needs an exception, there's an exception. But one person told me that his cousin was like a big shot lawyer. He went to work the day after the wedding. Like, are you a moron? Like, what kind of marriage is that? The day after the wedding, you're running away to work. There's a mitzvah to take care of your wife. It's more important than the money. Okay? I'm just the yeshiva boy, though, so I can't really speak about money. But I can tell you what it says. That much I know. Anyway, good. So that's how you count. And two more points before we pause, I guess, for tonight. Point number one is the number of cups. How does this whole business work? And when we say Sheva Berachot, Rabbi Yossi helped me figure this out very well this summer. And we have a Sheva Berachot, and you say Birkat HaMazon with a cup of wine. How do you do this whole business with one cup, two cups, filling, mixing, whatever? How does this work? So there's a Machloket Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Mishulam. Rabbeinu Tam was Rashi's grandson. Rabbeinu Mishulam is his student. Rabbeinu Mishulam was a big parsha, gave a big parsha shiur, and he went to a different town, and he gave a parsha shiur over there. So the Rabbeinu Tam heard about his parsha shiur, and he's like, you said this, this, and the other thing. You're not Bikoris, you're a moron. What's wrong with you? It was all sorts of questions that Rabbeinu Mishulam gave pshat in the Torah in a way that Rabbeinu Tam thought was against the Torah. It was against the halacha, it was against the Gemara, and he called him an apikoris. All sorts of things, like how many korbanot do you bring on Rosh Hashanah, one for Rosh Hashanah and one for Rosh Chodesh, how big does the mikveh have to be, and another one is how many cups do you need at a Sheva Berachot. What the issue is, Gemara says in Pesachim, that I can't recite Havdalah and Birkat HaMazon on the same cup. If in a situation where, whatever halachic means it takes for me to tell you it's okay, in a situation where a person, not Havdalah and Birkat Kiddush and Birkat HaMazon on the same cup, let's say a person ate right up until Shabbat started. And when Shabbat starts, he's gonna do Birkat HaMazon, and on the same cup of wine that he used for Birkat HaMazon, he's gonna say Kiddush. The Gemara says you cannot do that because of the Talmudic imperative of Ein Osin Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot. You cannot cram numerous mitzvot within one medium, into one chavilah, into one package. This mitzvah gets its cup, and the other mitzvah gets its own cup. Therefore, you can't do Birkat HaMazon and Kiddush or Havdalah on the same cup of wine. They're two separate mitzvot. They have to be done separately. So Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Mishulam, both in the Tosafot, in Pesachim right over there, and in Rabbeinu Tam's Sefer HaYashar, his Shelot U'Tshuvot, argue it out. It's a series of Shelot U'Tshuvot. Rabbeinu Tam wrote to Rabbeinu Mishulam saying, you're an idiot, and then Rabbeinu Mishulam responded, and then they went back and forth on a number of issues or so. So Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that it's inappropriate, it's a violation of the imperative of Ein Osin Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot, to recite Sheva Berachot on both and Birkat HaMazon on the same cup of wine. Therefore, for Birkat HaMazon you need one cup, and for Sheva Berachot you need another cup. Similarly, under the Chuppah, Rabbeinu Tam says you have Kiddushin and you have Nisuin. There are two different things. There are two different sets of Berachot. Therefore, they each get its own Hagefen and its own cup. Therefore, you need to have two cups under the chuppah. Rabbeinu Mishulam fundamentally disagrees with the whole thing. He says it's the same mitzvah. And therefore, first of all, Nisuin and Kiddushin is one mitzvah. You're getting married. And Birkat HaMazon and Sheva Berachot, Birkat HaMazon is what generates the opportunity to recite Sheva Berachot. It's an extension of sorts. Therefore, it's not a violation of Ein Osin Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot. I'm not doing more than I need to on this cup. It fits perfectly, therefore I can use one cup for Birkat HaMazon, because Birkat HaMazon generates, it precipitates the opportunity to recite Sheva Berachot, and therefore It's one cup is satisfactory. That's Rabbeinu Tam holds two cups, because they're two separate things, both Birkat HaMazon and Shavu Brachot, and Kiddushin and Nisuin under the Chuppah. And Rabbeinu Mishulam says, no, each of those things is one topic. And one mitzvah, you only need one cup for each situation. How do we hold? Like neither of them. We hold like the Rambam. The Rambam says that Kiddushin and Nisuin are two different things. So for those, you need two cups. Because anyway, back in the day, they used to do them separately, 12 months apart. So you need to have two cups for those. But for Birkat HaMazon and Sheva Berachot, we said last night, the whole idea of Sheva Berachot at a meal, according to the Rambam, is that these Panim Chadashot did not experience the wedding yet. They never heard the Berachot. So because I had a Seuda with bread, I'm going to recite Birkat HaMazon as an extension of Birkat HaMazon. We highlight and we bold and emphasize extension of Birkat HaMazon. It's one mitzvah with a few more berachot at the end of it. Extension of Birkat HaMazon, you recite Sheva Berachot. So if it's an extension, so Habibi, what's wrong? It's one mitzvah. You only need one cup and it's not a problem. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That for the chuppah you need two cups. And for Birkat HaMazon, you only need one cup for Sheva Berachot. So what happens though, when you go to the chuppah and you see they only brought you one cup, what do you do? They brought you one at my wedding. You only had one cup and one bottle of wine. How do you handle that? So the halacha is that once you drink from it and you pour it up again, that's already a new cup. That's already a second cup. When you drink from the cup and then you refill, that counts already as a second cup and it's not a problem. But more importantly, how do you handle Birkat HaMazon? According to the Shulchan Aruch, you only need one cup for Birkat HaMazon and you're fine. But the minhag of all the Sfaradim, I mean the consistent minhag of the entire Sfarad, almost the entire Sfaradi world, I guess we'll pause for a minute.
Most people use two cups.
How come we use two cups? That's the minhag. Minhag is not like the Shulchan Aruch at the Sheva Berachot at Birkat HaMazon usually. The thing is, why? I don't know, the minhag developed that it's not like the Shulchan Aruch. Some say it's a pre-existing minhag, and therefore it's okay. Shulchan Aruch is the anti-pre-existing minhag game. Whereas, as usual, the people who are most vehement about following this minhag are the people who are the most vehement in general about following minhag game. The Moroccans insist on using only one cup for Birkat HaMazon. And that's what they do. The Moroccans, Tunisians...
So you say two brachas and then you drink?
So that we'll talk in a second about how to do it, but in terms of how many cups you need, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you need one cup, and that's what the Moroccans do, and according to the Rabbeinu Tam and how the Minhag developed for the Sfaradim, you need two cups. So the question is, how do you do this whole thing? And maybe it makes a difference if you hold one cup or two cups. So... second, yeah. So if you say, well, let's think in general for a second. If I have a Sheva Berachot meal, right, and everything is good, so first I say Birkat HaMazon, and then under the chuppah, the first thing we do is Hagefen, and because I'm reciting all of these berachot under this on this cup of wine. Lichvod these berachot, I said hagefen, and at the end I'm going to drink. So I say hagefen first, and then shakol bara lichvodo, yotzer hadam, etc. Asher bara sasum esimcha. Now when I say baruch atah Hashem, esameach atani merkala, then I can drink, because it was all said on that one cup. At Birkat HaMazon, if you assume that these are two separate berachot, two separate inyanim of Birkat HaMazon and Sheva Berachot, so then you can't put the Hagefen first. The Hagefen actually has to come last, because it's a separate idea. So first you say Birkat HaMazon, plus your six berachot, Sheakol Bara, through Asher Bara, and then on a second cup, you'll do Birkat HaMazon holding cup A. You'll do your six berachot holding cup B, and then you'll take cup A and you'll recite Hagefen on that cup. What? If you hold two cups, that's what you do. You take, and then you mix the two together and make sure that each cup has some of both cups in it. You give to the Chatan and Kala and then to everybody else. If you hold, though, that it's really only one cup is necessary, so then why aren't you doing it the same way you do it at the wedding? You should first say HaGefen, and then before you drink, you should recite all of the other berachot, because as under the chuppah, this is just an extension, and this Birkat HaGefen is in fact a kavod to these berachot. So for Moroccans, in the Moroccan Sidur, it should say, I think it does say, even after Birkat HaMazon, you say HaGefen first, and then you recite all the other berachot. Whereas in a standard Sidur, Ashkenazi and Sfaradi, first you say Shachol Bara Lechvodo through Asher Bara after Birkat HaMazon, and then you say HaGefen on the other cup. So halacha l'maaseh, if a person's had a Moroccan Shavu Barachot, you have to do HaGefen first. And even if you're a normal Sfaradi, because it's just a minhag, the Ikara din is like the Shulchan Aruch, and it's certainly in the Rambam. So it's certainly. We talked about this at my Shabbat Chatan. If I recall correctly, you read Shulchan Aruch, he says to do HaGefen first. But if you look in the Sfaradi Sidur for Shavu Barachot, not for the Chatunah, not for under the Chuppah, it's a separate section. If it even has it printed in the Sfaradi Sidur, it should have HaGefen last. And you can't bring me any ra'ayot from randomly printed ventures, because the ventures people don't have a clue. They put in all sorts of garbage and stupidity, and it really shows that they don't know what they're doing. Oftentimes you find some mistake after mistake in a venture, and call a kavod to them, but you shouldn't learn halacha from the venture, unless it's a halachic venture. That you can learn how from a written by a postek or whatever, and that's okay.
So Birkat HaMazon,
yeah,
is on one cup, and then the other six brachot are in the different cup, or do you pass the Birkat HaMazon cup to make the Shabbat brachot?
The former. You say Birkat HaMazon on one cup,
and
you
then
pass
the
Shabbat brachot, he holds it, puts it down, whatever, okay. And then you use the other cup for Shabbat brachot, bring it back for him to say HaGefen on the first cup, and then mix them together and everything is happy. Everyone is happy. Kol sason mikol simcha, we fulfill the halacha like the minhag. Now, that's the halacha of kosot. Any questions so far? No? Okay, fine. So, finally, it's important to understand that Shana Rishona, the first year of marriage, there is a mitzvah of simcha, we said, midoraita, according to many Rishonim, Major Rishonim, Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam. It's something in the Torah to be mismeach one's wife. Right? And then, it's the man's responsibility to set the tone. He's supposed to go learn at night. Go learn Torah, set the tone in the home, that this is for the Ribono Shel Olam. And when you have Torah flowing through your home, everyone is much happier and there's a lot more shalom. And the wife has to push her husband to go learn Torah. Some husbands don't want to learn, so the wife has to push even more, and she gets even more sachar. And even if he goes to the Beit Midrash and he does all sorts of things and doesn't learn, she still gets sachar. And her official shechter, he's a great magid shir. I once heard a story from him that really touched me. He said, mashal, a man gets home from work, you know, whatever time, 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night, he has dinner with his family, and then his wife says, okay, go learn. And he goes to night seder, gets there at 8 o'clock. He parks at 8 o'clock. And then he gets inside 8:05. My phone is on, I have to take it off, turn it off. Oh, I just got a text, whatever. I have to respond to the text. I have to go to the bathroom, getting tired, let me make a try. Schmooze with the other guy at the coffee machine, right? Tell him, oh, you whatever, you know, this year we're going to, okay, great. And then when he finally sits down, my safer's upstairs. I have to go upstairs to get my safer. Why, man? He goes upstairs to get his safer, he realizes the window's broken, and it's jammed, so he spends like 5 minutes, you know, rolls up his sleeves, fixes the windows, air conditioner's not working, goes and he fixes that, the lights, whatever, he's the mechanic, and then he sees his friends are talking about another thing, and schmoozes with them for a half hour. Before you know it, Behura Achom, and it's 10 o'clock and night seder's over. Before you know it, he didn't learn any Torah. Right? How much sachar for Talmud Torah does the husband get? Only for going to shul, but zero for learning. How much sachar does the wife get for Talmud Torah? 2 full hours. She sent her husband out of the house to learn. She gets sachar for every second that he's out of the house. Whereas the husband, if he's not learning, okay, bar minan.
She gets sachar for just kicking him out of the house?
Yeah.
It's that easy.
It's the, if you think it's that easy, kol hakavod. But one day, in like 15 years, when you, God Hashem, you'll see if it's easy. I only have one baby. I'm only married for a year and a little bit. It's not easy. But I'm also here all day.
I'm sure getting kicked out of the house isn't so easy.
Okay, that's it. So one should know, one should make effort. And one who isn't married yet should be zochet to find a wife who will enable him to go learn at nights and make the time for him to learn, and then he should also learn. But it's her responsibility also to make sure that there is Torah in their home just as much as him. And finally, to that point, one would be remiss. One would be remiss if he got married and didn't realize that the purpose of marriage is perur avu miluot haaretz, to have children. We say in the Berachot, Yotzer HaAdam. It's the first Beracha, right? Sorry, second. Shakol Barad HaChvado is just because everyone got together, it's Kavod Hashem. Then, Yotzer HaAdam, Hashem created Adam alone. We don't have to say that right now, because Adam was alone, no one cares. We're not celebrating being single. We're celebrating the next Beracha. Of Asher Yatzar, et HaAdam et Salmo. B'tzelem d'mut avito, b'itkin lo mimenu b'inyan adayad, ribono shel olam created chava out of Adam Rishon. So that he should have someone to share that kavod shamayim, that recognition of the ribono shel olam with. Baruch atah Hashem, yotzer ha'adam. But man doesn't live forever. He needs someone else to share that with. That's why we get married, so that we can have children to share the recognition of the ribono shel olam with the children also. And that's mitzvah peruravu. And that's why people get married. You know, we say that, we sing, Inve HaGefen, V'Inve HaGefen. We sing, Inve HaGefen. It's one of the songs, at least Ashkenazim sing at weddings and Shev Rachot. The point is, why do we compare them? We compare Chatan V'Kala, we compare them to grapevines that are stuck together. They twine, intertwine together very well. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, that why grapevines, why not apples, why not oranges, peaches, grapefruit, whatever, why grapes? So Shlomo Zalman Orbach and many others say two things. Number one, grapevines don't have a trunk. They need a trellis. They need something as a base for them to grow on. So too, a Chatan V'Kala can't think that Aish HaYashar Beinav Yaaseh, I'm going to do whatever I think is right. They have to build their home on the bedrock of Avotenu HaKidoshim, on the Masoret, the traditions that we have, on the Torah Kedosha, and not on whatever they think is correct. And also, Gefen, grapes, unlike all other fruits, if you squeeze them, you get juice. The bracha on the fruit was Ha'etz. The bracha on the juice is Sha'akol. When it comes to grapes, the bracha on the fruit is Ha'etz, and the bracha on the juices, Horei Periya Gefen. When the bracha goes from being more general, from Sha'akol Nya Bivaro, to Borei Periya Adama, to Borei Periya Eitz, to Borei Periya Gefen, it's more chashuv. It's more important. We give a bracha to the Chatan V'Kala, even if you're such a good bacha, you're the best boy in all of YU, or all of Lakewood, whatever, who cares? Wherever he's the, you know, Rav Sobolovsky says in YU, everyone knows the best boy in yeshiva is the one who's getting married that week. It's all, he's such a tzaddik, such a talmid chacham, whatever. You make up whatever praises you can for the guy who's getting married that week. Even if it's all true that this boy and the girl are such tzaddikim, and we love them so much and whatever, and that we look up to them and respect them, we daven that their children should be better than they are. We daven that their children should be like Borei Periya Gefen and not the Borei Periya Eitz that they are. They should be even better than they are. Which is why they should know, they should have children. The children should be better than they are. You know, Steinman says, it says, Vayetzei Ish Mivei Levi, Vayikach Evad Levi. It says in the beginning, third Pasuk, second Pasuk in Parashat, not, second Aliyah in Parashat Shemot. It says, Amram left, Vayetzei Ish Mivei Levi, he went out, Vayikach Evad Levi, took Yocheved Bat Levi, his aunt, for a wife. Ibn Ezra says, the Ramban quotes Ibn Ezra who says, where did he go out to? He went out to her house to pick her up. He went out to her house to pick her up, and then he took her on a date. That's why it's Eish Mivei Levi. Amram went out. He took Yocheved. They went on a date. Vayikach Evad Levi. Then he got married. So Rav Shechter asks, sorry, not Rav Steinman asks, why do I need to know? Like, who cares? They went on a date. Shkoyach. But like, obviously, dude, why do I need the Torah to tell me they went on a date? Why is that so important? And also, how come it doesn't say their names? It doesn't say their names at all. It says Ish mi Beit Levi, and it says Bat Levi. So sorry, I said it backwards. The first question, how come it tells me that they went on a date, is Rav Schechter's question. The second question of how come it tells me that they went on a date, that how come it doesn't say their names in it, that's Rav Steinman. So Rav Steinman answers, why doesn't it say their names? Because it's telling me that anybody, any plain old Jew who marries a normal girl, you know, boy meets girl, they fall in love, they get married, they can still have a baby who's Gadol Hador, who's Moshe Anshel Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was the product of that marriage, and it didn't even say their names of the parents on that marriage. It shows you that anybody who gets married, there is potential that your children will be like Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's very important to make sure that the home that child is raised in is a home that works, Al Pi Torah, and a home that runs with the Torah as its framework for everything. And Rav Schechter says that it tells me that they went on a date. Chazak uvaruch, they went on a date. Why is that so important? Okay, you didn't tell me their names, Rav Shimon said, because the child can be Gadol Hador. But what? That's when they're married, they have to be good. Why does it tell me that they went on a date? That he went and he took her out, huh? Vayetze. Why does it say Vayetze? Why not just say Vayikach ish mi Beit Levi et Bat Levi? Why? Ibn Ezra says Vayetze means they went out. He went to visit her and took her out. Chazak uvaruch. Starbucks is, everyone knows where Starbucks is. Why do you have to tell me? So Rav Schechter says that the Torah wants to teach us that even your dating has to be worthy of being written in the Torah. It can't be that they did all sorts of stupid things when they were dating, and then when they get married, they become tzaddikim. The dating also has to be al pi ruach haTorah. It can't be, you know, Hashem Yerachem. Now, as Rabbi Cohen would say, Ba'aminan Sonayim Shal Yisrael. Okay, fine. So those are some ideas. Those are all some ideas about Hilchos Shel Brachot. Let's just review what we did tonight. We discussed Panim Chadashot, Tosfot's opinion about Shabbat, and that's what we accept. Shabbat counts as Panim Chadashot. We count it for the first two meals of Shabbat, not for Sudah Shlishit. Ashkenazim say, if you have a derasha, Chazak Baruch, if he makes everyone happy, that also counts as Panim Chadashot. Now, we said if the Ben Ish Chai would have counted though either way, and if Sudah Shlishit goes past Shekia, if it's Bino Shmashor, Rav Ovadia says you can recite Shabbat Brachot. If it's after Tzedek Kochavim, you cannot, according to Rav Ovadia, recite Shabbat Brachot. And the drinking of the kos itself, the drinking of the cup itself, is a machloket. First Sfaradim, it's basically okay. I forgot to mention, Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul is quoted by one of his Talmidim as saying, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, that the Chatan Kala should be the ones to drink. But okay, whatever one holds. But Ashkenazim for sure, the Tzitzal Yezer is Mekel all the way, and Rav Moshe Feinstein is the generally accepted minhag that the Chatan and Kala should be the ones to drink. We discussed how many cups does a couple need at their Shabbat Brachot and at their wedding. So we hold like the Rambam, you need one cup under the wedding. If you need two cups under the chuppah, and if they only give you one, so just refill it in between Kiddushin and Shabbat Brachot. And at the Shabbat Brachot meal, we hold like the Shulchan Aruch, but our minhag is not like the Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says one, and that's what the Moroccans do, and the regular Sfaradi custom is to do two cups at a Shabbat Brachot meal. We said that the Shabbat Brachot counting starts from the Yichud room, or when they go to their apartment together. But with respect to Simcha, it counts from, what should we call it? You count from 24 hours from then, not from Shekiah to Shekiah, but from the moment they went in times 24 hours times 7. So, plus 24 hours times 7. And lastly, tachanun and working, all those things go from the 24 hours. The bracha is more chamur. We say, safik bracha da'akel, we don't want to get involved in challenging situations of berachot, so we'll go from Shekiah there. And we said Shana Rishona is a mitzvah min haTorah. To be misameach one's wife, to make her happy for the first year, is a mitzvah min haTorah. And one also has to have Torah during that year. Every night, every day, whatever it is, to make sure that he sets the tone for his home. Maybe Samecher, having children, teaching those children Torah, and to recognize the Ribono Shel Olam. Finally, one thing that we worked on this summer, we don't have an answer yet, but Yossi and I worked on this summer what Panim Chadash would have to eat. Let's say, we said like the Rosh, just to get back into it for a second, and then we'll stop. We said like the Rambam says, it's about not hearing the Berachot, clearly guest-oriented. The Ritosa says, people who you add food for them, that's clearly going to be... Sorry, that's clearly going to be Chatan Mikala oriented. And the Rosh is in the middle somewhere. The Rosh says it's about people who didn't eat yet. So what does that mean, you didn't eat yet? If you hold like the Rosh, we're saying Merkat HaMazon for you now. And what? Are you eating now? Because you didn't eat yet until now. Right? You're counting as Panim Chadashot today. I think it's pretty obvious that once you join us for today's Seuda, you can't count tomorrow. So is that irrespective of your eating, or is that because you ate today? And if it's because you ate today, that means that you have to eat today. If you don't eat today, so then you don't count. You don't count for this Seuda. So first of all, the Rama writes, like the Ramban, you don't have to eat at all. So Ashkenazim, Panim Chadashot, never have to eat. And that's fine. But for Sfaradim, this is the question. So it depends how you read the Rosh. If it's all about the guests, so clearly the fact that they didn't eat is because they need to eat. Once they eat, then they join the Seuda, right? But if it's about, if the Rosh is, the whole point is that the Simcha of the guest joining increases so much to the threshold that you can recite Panim Chadashot Brachot for the Chatan Nikala. So who cares if you eat or you don't eat? So Yossi and I worked on this a lot, and there was a lot of ambiguity here. We don't really know what the halacha is. Some people told me the minhag is that they can eat anything. Eat some mizonot or whatever. Some people told me that the minhag is that they have to eat bread. I mamash don't have clarity. There's some poskim. Rav Ovadia has a long 5-page teshuvah where he discusses so many halachot of Panim Chadashot and Shavu Brachot. And at the very end, in the summary of the halacha of the teshuvah, Rav Ovadia writes that Panim Chadashot are among the people who ate, among the soadim at the meal. So some poskim want to be midayek, they want to learn from that line. Rav Ovadia, the Rav Ovadia says you have to be eating at the meal. And some say, obviously he means you need to eat bread. And others say, obviously he means you don't need to eat bread. Nobody really knows what the answer is. So Yossi and I are really working on this. I spent like 2 weeks learning about 24 pages of Mikorot. That I all sorts of poskim across the spectrum. Some say Svaradim don't have to eat at all. Some say Svaradim have to eat mizono. Some say Svaradim have to eat bread. The answer is, I don't know what the halacha is. But it's very interesting. The way that we said it though, that if you say it's about the guests eating now, right? So what is it that they have to eat now? They have to eat bread. So that means that they didn't eat bread at my wedding? That means that at my wedding they can come to the shmorg, eat everything at the shmorg except for the hot dog buns. Then they can come to the chuppah, come to the meal, eat the steak, eat the kebab, eat the chicken, the potatoes, and the dessert. As long as they don't say hamotzi, they're still going to be panim chadashot tomorrow. And now they have to eat bread at the Seuda as Panim Chadashot. That's the opinion of Rav Ben Zion Avashal. It makes a lot of sense, but it's crazy. It makes a lot of sense, but it's just so novel. It can't be true. At the same time, if you tell me the whole point is that I have to eat now, so then if I have to eat anything at the meal now, at the Shavuot Brachot meal, that means at the wedding, I couldn't have eaten even a morsel of kebab at the dinner. I don't know about the shmorg. What do you do about the shmorg? All the food before, the chasnas tish. I don't know what to say. So Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to end here on Hilchos Shavuot Brachot for this summer. It's been a fantastic summer, and hopefully by next summer we'll have an answer to Yossi's question. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen. Huh? We sent a sheila to Rabbi Tzfak Yosef. It usually takes him a month or three to get a response. So we'll see. It's been a month. Rabbi Ben Chaim, when I asked him, he said he never looked into this. He assumes you have to have bread, but he doesn't have an opinion on the matter. So it's all thanks to Yossi that we have. So Baruch Hashem.
We're
continuing tonight. And tomorrow night, Be'ezrat Hashem, I think I'll be here to learn, but I don't know. I mean, for dinner. I don't know what we're going to learn about.
Okay.
So, at dinner time, so. Figure it out, Bezat Hashem.